morning, we are continuing our series on the 23rd Psalm, a psalm that has brought comfort to thousands and thousands of people for the last 3,000 years. And as we do, my prayer is, as we go through this series together, is that the Lord will help us to go deeper into the words that may be familiar to us in a way that will just bless our hearts and draw us closer. So let's pray. Dear Shepherd, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In 1979, the FAA grounded all DC-10 aircraft in the United States because of a particular flight in which the engine fell off. And it led to one of the worst accidents in aviation history, death of 275 crew and passengers. Upon investigation, it was discovered that engines don't just fall off of planes. The reason for this incident was because there was sustained neglect of maintenance. The soul is much like an engine. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh, and the root word in Hebrew is neph, which literally means breath. God breathed life into all living creatures in Genesis 1. God breathed into the nostrils to give life to human beings in Genesis 2. The soul, the nephesh, is our life force. Pastor and author Dallas Willard says, "What is running your life at any given moment is your soul. It's not your external circumstances, it's not your thoughts or your feelings or your intentions, but your soul." The soul, he says, is the life center of the human being. Everything else in your life flows out of the well-being of your soul. And much like an engine, your soul requires maintenance, because without maintenance, the soul can wear out. Thinking can become fuzzy, feelings can become numb, desires can become corrupt, the will can be warped, decisions can become difficult, temptations can become overwhelming. David frequently throughout the scriptures felt like his soul was about to give way, his engine was about to fall off. And frequently he would cry out, "Lord, save me." And here in this psalm is the promise of God, who is forever at work to restore our souls. He revives our souls. He refreshes us. Fresh wind, fresh fire, bringing the soul back to life. So if you are feeling weary in the soul today, take heart, because God is already at work, even in this moment, to tend to your soul. As we saw last Sunday when we began this series with the first verse, David used the metaphor of a shepherd to the sheep to illustrate God's tender care for us. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we said, we have confidence that God provides everything we need, including refreshment for our souls. But here's the thing, and I did not mention this last week, as it says in number one in the teaching notes that you'll find in your bulletin, if God is my shepherd, then what does that make me? Well, it makes me a sheep. And if you have been to a pasture and you've been around sheep, you know that to be referred to as a sheep is not a flattering thing. This is Shaun the Sheep. Anybody familiar with Shaun the Sheep? British cartoon character from some years ago. A friend introduced us to this show, and our grandchildren just love it. But Shaun is the leader of this unruly flock of sheep that lives on a farm somewhere in England, and in every episode, these stupid sheep get into all kinds of hilarious situations. It's interesting that in Psalm 23, David does not refer to us as anything else. We're not strong like lions. We're not fast and agile like antelope. We're not smart like dogs. But we are dumb. Sorry. We're dumb like sheep. There's no animal in the animal kingdom that requires more care, more attention, more direction than sheep. Sheep cannot tend to themselves. They're helpless, apart from the shepherd. And that's why throughout the Bible, over 200 times, God references us, his people, his prized possession, as sheep. And I think we can agree that we can become so easily discouraged, distracted, deceived, scared, overwhelmed, even lost. The prophet Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Now, that doesn't sound like a very loving God looking at us in this way. And yet, when I look at my life, when I turned away from the shepherd, and when I look at this troubled world in which we live, I realize how appropriate it is that God calls us his sheep. And yet, the thing is that we have a shepherd. A shepherd who provides for everything that we need. A shepherd who, though we have so often gone astray, is always there to restore our souls. We are sheep with a shepherd. Now, in verse 2, as we turn to that this morning, we discover what the Lord does to restore our souls. It says, first of all, that the shepherd gives me rest. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. This is a picture of a shepherd leading his flock to this comfortable place of grass where we can rest. Now, we have to recognize, as we read this, that it is so essential for us physically and spiritually to find rest. Rest is required for us to be whole. But in this go, check your phone the second you wake up, text, email, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever it is, many of us do not even know what it means to rest. We are so overworked as a culture of people that we struggle to find rest. And so it's not an accident that one of the big ten, the Ten Commandments, is this command to rest. God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, in the Jewish culture, Sabbath rest begins at sundown on Friday and ends at sundown on Saturday. Meals are prepared and chores are completed ahead of time so that on that seventh day, everyone can set their work aside and worship and rest in fellowship with God and with God's people. And across the generations, we Christians have set aside Sunday as our Sabbath. We call Sunday the Lord's Day because it is every Sunday a time to celebrate Easter, to celebrate the victory that we have in the risen Lord Jesus. It wasn't that long ago that our Christian ancestors were adamant about keeping Sunday holy. And the culture around us supported it. Sunday, we went to church. Sunday, we rested. We enjoyed dinner at home and relaxed with family and friends. Stores were closed. There were no organized sports, no school activities on Sunday. Chick-fil-A wasn't the only restaurant that was closed on Sunday. Now, of course, there were those who worked jobs that required them to be there on Sundays. But as a culture, we placed a high value on having a day to unplug, to shut it down, to rest. You know, the Ten Commandments are found in two places in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in each place, a different reason is given as to why it's so critically important for you and me to find rest. In Exodus 20, verse 11, it says, "In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." In other words, God rested, so should we. You were created in the image of God. You were designed to get alone with the God of the universe and to rest. Rest for the body. Rest for the soul. And then in Deuteronomy 5, it says something even more poignant. "Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." When God's people were slaves in Egypt, there was no rest. It was work, 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 7 days a week. Under Pharaoh's strong rule, Israel had no freedom to rest. But now they're free. Free to stop their work. Free to rest. And God says, if you don't rest, you're just going back to slavery. If you don't take the time to detach from your labor, whatever that looks like for you, to rest, then you are in bondage to whatever it is that's grinding you. Notice it says in Psalm 23:2, "He makes me lie down." He makes me lie down because it's not something by nature I would let to do. I wonder, has the shepherd ever made you lie down because you've neglected your body or your soul? How many of us have suffered stress-related health issues or caused hurt in relationships because we have neglected to find rest in the Lord? Before the shepherd makes you lie down, take the time. Create the space. The shepherd wants to restore your soul. The shepherd wants to give you rest. And the shepherd also wants to give you refreshment. The shepherd gives me refreshment. He leads me beside the still waters. A picture of a sheep being led to this gentle pool of water where a sheep can just bend down and lap up as much water as the sheep needs. Jesus says to the woman at the well in John 4, "Drink from me and you will never thirst." Drinking deeply from the living word through the written word is what ultimately brings soul satisfaction to you. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." this book revives your soul. These holy words, written thousands of years ago, are able to breathe life into you. You know, long-distance runners know that the key to staying hydrated is not to wait until you're thirsty to take a drink. Because if you wait until you're thirsty to get a drink of water, you're already dehydrated. So many of us wait. Wait until that crisis comes into our lives, and then we seek to be saturated by your word. When we should have been lapping it up and drinking deep to satisfy our souls all along. What he's telling us here in this text is, I'm meeting you beside still waters right now, in your life today. Drink deeply. I've given you the Bible in so many different translations. I've given you daily reading plans, countless devotionals in print and online. I've given you podcasts, endless Bible study resources. Drink deeply. I've given you sermons, praise the Lord, and Sunday school classes and small group Bible studies. I've given you a church family that values your spiritual growth. Drink deeply. Beloved, the shepherd makes you lie down because your souls need rest, and the shepherd leads you beside the still waters because your soul needs refreshment. Lie down. Drink deeply. And the shepherd who breathed life into you is forever with you to restore your soul. The shepherd restores me. The shepherd restores me. Let's say that first part of verse 3 together. Those four words, we carry them with us. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. It was a Sunday evening in the fall of 2001, and I was a new pastor at Camp Hill United Methodist Church. And I driven over to the church that evening to pick up our daughter Rachel, who was a ninth grader. Was a youth group. And I pulled into the parking lot, and there was a beautifully restored 1966 Pontiac Tempest. Now, that car grabbed my attention because my very first car was a 1967 Pontiac Tempest, and it was identical to the one that was in our parking lot. The exact same color and everything. And so I hurried inside the church, and I found Stephen Gallagher, our youth pastor, and I said, Stephen, who does that car belong to? And he pointed to this high school senior from Mechanicsburg High School, whose name was Galen Kapp. And when we talked that night about his car, neither of us had a clue that 7 years later he was going to marry my daughter Jennifer. And that one day he would become the father of my two beautiful granddaughters. So Gail went on to tell me that he and his uncle had restored that car as a project he did for school. And when I told Gail that I was going to use him as a sermon illustration today, he said, you know, I think I have some pictures. And so he sent me the before picture of his 66 Pontiac Tempest. There he is, peering in. And as you can see, this car was in really bad shape. It was covered with pine needles and dirt, he said. It was rusted out in several places. The interior was a mess. The engine needed work. The car had been neglected for such a long, long time that most of us would look at that and say, take it to the junkyard. Well, they saw great possibilities for that car. And so they went to work. And for months they worked together.
They work on the interior. They work on the body. They clean up and restore the engine. And believe me, that 66 Tempest could really move along. I mean, I never drove mine over the speed limit, but it was a fast car. And finally, the car was restored. There it is in front of his house where he grew up. Beautifully restored Tempest. Everything just as it was designed when it came out of the factory in 1966. And some years later, I said, Gail, whatever happened to that beautiful Tempest? Because I wanted to have it. And he said he sold it for money to go to college. Looking at that finished product, and you'll notice, by the way, the picture in your notes is a two-door, and that's a four-door. Somebody was very observant. But when I look at that finished product, I think about a song written by a contemporary Christian singer named Matthew West. And that song is called Mended. And some of the words are these. When you see broken beyond repair, I see healed beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. When you see nothing but damaged goods, I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet. When you see wounds, I see men. Friends, I don't know what you see when we look at your life today. But I do know this, that you have a shepherd who loves you, who wants to give you rest, who wants to give you refreshment, who wants to restore your soul. You have everything you need because the Lord, is your shepherd. I'm going to ask if Sarah can come and lead us into our next song. And as she comes, I'm going to ask you, can you sing today,